When I speak, it may seem simplistic. It may be that I'm just reading a few scriptures out. But actually, during the week, in the weeks, I read a lot, I listen to a lot, and I look at commentaries, I reference cross-reference, look at the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin. But I don't bring that because that's not the way that I teach. But I like to know things. I like to know what's happening so that when we look at this word, and when we look at meek or humble, actually, there's many different small illustrations that when you add them together, they kind of make sense. And one part of it is to be meek or to be humble is to be trained by the hand and or come under the hand. And if you think about this as us coming under the hand of God, and if you look at in Scripture, God says to his people Israel, you're like wild donkeys. And if you imagine a wild horse, a stallion, and just doing what it wants when it wants, and when you break that animal, it comes under the hand of the trainer. So when the trainer says stop, it stops. When he says turn right, it goes right. When left, left. Bow, bow. Gallop, gallop. Does that make sense? So a part of this, I want you to have in your mind that to be meek, to be humble in this context is to come under the hand of God, is power under control, power under the control of God. There's a scripture that says he's not given us the spirit of timidity, but one of power. He's given us a sound mind. And when you look into timidity, it's a similar thing. It's power under control. Control. So I want you to think about that as we look at one or two scriptures. And I really want to take some stuff from Psalm 37. But if we go Psalm 37, verse 11, it says this: but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. And I remember speaking to a pastor friend of mine, and he said, listen, one of the mistakes that many, many people make, many Christians make and many non-Christians make, is when they call you to be meek, they think that you're automatically weak. But meekness is power, but under the hand of God. It's power under control. I can do this, but I choose to be obedient. So meekness is not weakness, but we are called to be humble. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. So I think for us as a church, as a gathering here, and anyone who listens to this, we need to have an understanding of what is God saying to us in James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Consider it pure joy. When you look through Scripture, when I look through Scripture, when I go through trial and tribulation, when I see what God says in advance for me to read and to study and to understand, it gives me hope. It gives me peace. It helps me to be meek. It says, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. During worship, I was reminded of some things in my childhood. And when I think back, it's easy to say God said. Isn't it easy to say that God had his hand on you? But I believe he did have his hand on me. There was many things that I walked through, many choices I made, and many choices I didn't make. And it helped me to be the person that I am today. And I'm sure it's same for you. That when you look at the trials and the tribulations, it says the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Then it says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. It goes on to say, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. So when we start to look at God's word, when you meditate on God's word, when you're in the car or at home and you're listening to praise and to worship, many of the songs have God's word in them. You might be thinking to yourself, Lord, am I really blessed? Yes, you are. You're blessed. The trials and tribulations that you go through, and if you haven't been through them, you will, are for the testing of your faith. Let perseverance do its work so that you will be mature, lacking nothing. So when I look back at my life, I want you to look back at your life and see the trial and the tribulation and see if it's produced character. If it hasn't, it will. We need to be a people, I believe, that will take God's word, digest God's word, Let his word speak to us and through us. In Numbers 12:3, it says, "Now Moses was very humble. He was a meek man. He was more meek. He was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." That you look at some of the things that Moses got up to. He wasn't a weak man, was he? He was a strong man. But God said that he was humble. There was a humility about him. I remember reading a portion of scripture where Moses was up on the mountain. And when he come down, the people were up to all kinds of things. They were making idols and they were running riot. And he stood in the gap for those people that had sinned. And he said, "God, they're your people." He was a humble man. He was a man of power. But he was a man who understood what it was to be meek. Power under control. He could have said, "Lord, wipe them out," but he didn't. He said, "Lord, have mercy on them." So for you and me, there's opportunities that you will have to curse. And God says, bless. Humility. That's meekness. So I just wanted to bring one or two things as we go through this series on blessed. To see how blessed we are. Because we are blessed. In 2 Samuel 16 verse 11, it talks about David. And I won't read all of this, but it's worth reading the story. There's a man that follows David around, and he's throwing stones at him. Here's the king, a mighty warrior is what he's called. And here's this man following him, cursing him, throwing dust in his face and throwing stones, pelting stones at him. Yet David was humble enough to know that he had the power, but he needed to bring it under control. Because when we're enraged, how many of you know, if you're a parent, that you don't want to discipline your children when you're up there and you're about to blow? You need to be calm and even-tempered. You need to have that power under control. And for Christians, there are things we want to say and things we want to do, but we are to be humble. We are to allow God's hand to guide us and direct us. There are things where you go, "You deserve this," and you want to say something. That be meek is to say, "Lord, you guide me. You direct me. Let me submit the authority that you've given me. Let me come under your hand. Let me be meek, Lord. Let me be humble, Lord." In 2 Timothy 4:16, "At my first defense, no one came to support me. No one stood there with me," Paul says. Yet he knew that he was a humble man. He knew that he was guided under God's hand. So he knew that he could stand up. He knew that he could bless and not curse. And when you read the story, you'll see that he was under oppression time and time again. Yet he chose to say, "Lord, your way, not my way." So the challenge for me and you is God's given you a measure of faith. Yes, he's given you a dunamis, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit. That's a power that lives inside you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So that's a big power. But it'll only operate if it comes under God's hand. Through humility and through meekness. It doesn't mean that we're weak Christians. It means we have all that God says we have. We have the power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. But if it doesn't come under God's hand, we won't be able to walk in the fullness of what he has for us. We won't be able to be blessed. We'll be able to be justified. You deserve that. We'll be able to feel good about ourselves because you deserved that, but we won't truly be blessed unless we understand what it is to be meek and to be humble and to walk in God's ways, not our way, but your way, Lord. In 1 Peter 2:23, it says, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats." This is Christ. So if you want a role model of what it is to be meek, then look at Jesus. Because here's an individual, fully God yet fully man. He had the authority and the power to call down curses. He could bind and he could loose. People would live or people would die at the command of Christ. Yet it says when he had the opportunity, when he was being stretched out, when he was being humiliated, when he was being falsely accused, when he was being maligned, when he was being whipped, when he was being nailed to the cross, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins wounds in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds we have been healed. So when you think about this word, blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, don't automatically think that you're just a doormat that anyone and everyone can walk over, but you are a bridge in which people can walk over to get to Christ. There is an opportunity, I believe, as Christians, and God's word will challenge, and God's word will offend, because the truth, know the truth sets you free, but it's a difficult journey, isn't it? If you're a Christian and you've walked with the Lord for any number of years, you'll know that he challenges you. But they deserve it, Lord. Humble yourself. Keep that power under control. It's mine, God says, to avenge. I'm blessed. Are you? I am blessed. The Bible says when people make all kinds of false accusations about you and they malign you, then give it to me. Power under control. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? To be humble, to be meek. Zephaniah 3:12. But I will leave within you the meek and the humble. The remnant of Israel will trust in the name of the Lord. Sometimes we look around us and we think there's just a few. If you look in this church, some years ago there was quadruple the amount of people in church. You know what? I'm encouraged by the story of Gideon, where the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. He says, "Arise, mighty warrior." And Gideon says, "Pardon me, Lord. I am the least of my clan." And he says, "No, I see something in you." And God did. He saw something in him. And he whittled down the thousands till there was a few hundred. And he took those few hundred faithful men and he won the battle. Yes? So it's not about numbers. It's about your heart. And my privilege is to minister God's word in a way that you will grow, that you will be challenged, that you will squirm at times and say, "Lord, I want that blessing." Well, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. There's a blessing that comes with humility. When we take the power that God's given us and we allow his hand to guide us and we stop when he says stop and we go when he says go. God's looking for meek and he's looking for humble. He's looking for powerful. He's looking for a voice that will cry out in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He's looking for those that will build their lives on a foundation. And that foundation, there's only two foundations in Scripture. One is solid and one is sand. That's it. You either build on the rock. No one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So you either build on Christ, the rock, or you build on sand. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the land. God wants to bless you. Will you receive his blessing? In Judges 6:11, it talks about the angel of the Lord, and we're talking about the story of Gideon here. He was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from his enemies. And God says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And in 13 it says, "Pardon me, Lord." Gideon replied, "Pardon me, Lord. I look around me and it feels as if I'm being overwhelmed." Well, blessed are the meek. In Psalm 37, as I was looking through what it is to be meek, this is the place where God shows us what a weak man is, what a weak woman is, a meek, should I say, woman and a meek man, a humble man. It says in Psalm 37:1, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong." So a meek man, a meek woman will not fret. Do not worry for today. You have everything you need. Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. A meek man and a meek woman, someone who's humble, who's got the power of God in them, but they've come under God's hand, God's direction. I hope you make sense of this. Where God is leading you, when you are led by other things, when you are led by the world, you won't be blessed. But when you are guided by God's hand, when you take that power that God has given you, you realize that all things are given to you for your edification, for your strength, and for your blessing. When you bring that power under the control of God's hand, you won't fret. You won't fret. There are evildoers who do wrong. It says in verse 2, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. And sometimes when we look at those that are in the world, they seem to prosper, don't they? They seem to grow to a ripe old age. But God says, don't be envious and do not fret. In verse 3, it says this, trust in the Lord and do good. So a man, a woman who is meek will trust in the Lord and do good. So it's not just a case of trusting in God, it's doing good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. The psalmist says, though I walk through valleys, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. He will lead me in green pastures. As Christians, God leads us in green pastures. So the meek will trust in the Lord and they will do good. They will enjoy the safe pastures. When God brings you into a land of plenty, enjoy it. In verse 4, the meek man, the humble man, take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you, you don't need to give a testimony today, but how many of you have prayed, Lord, my desire is this. And it seemed as if that wasn't going to happen. Then suddenly, he opens up the floodgates. I know for me and Susan, there was times where the desire of our heart was to eat food that week because of finances not allowing, and God would bless us. You know, if we don't give thanks for the small things, then we'll miss the big things when they'll come along. We'll take the big things for granted. But the meek man, the humble woman, the meek woman will see that there's power within them. But if they bring it under the hand of God, then they will stay in safe pastures. They will take delight in the Lord. And he will give them the desires of their heart. What is it you're desiring? God will give them to you, providing they're in his plans and purposes. And they're not for you just to get rich, but for you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. The humble man, the meek man and woman, in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. So if you truly are that individual who's been empowered by God, that you are humble, that you are meek, you'll commit your ways to the Lord. And that's what it is to be humble. That's what it is to be meek. And that's why we can be blessed. Why? Because we commit our ways to the Lord. So I want to ask you today, are you committing your ways to God? When you make plans, are you saying, Lord, is this what you want me to do? I'm not going to mention names, but I had a conversation with someone a little while ago, and God had placed a burden on their heart. And they were doing the right thing for the right reasons, but they needed God to empower them. So they were doing the right thing for the right reasons. And they wanted to see God's blessing. And as they wrestled with this very thing that God had asked them to do, they realized that they still needed to be in burden for these individuals. They still needed to intercede, but they needed to stay where God had put them. You see, they had all the power that God had promised them inside them, but they decided to allow God's hand to guide them. And that's the difference, I believe, from the foolish man and the wise man, the foolish woman and the wise woman. So back in Matthew, where it says, blessed are those that, blessed are, and it goes through the blessings. We are truly blessed if we will humble ourselves and be meek under God's hand, but realize that all that power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Your words are powerful. Your actions are powerful. And if you allow the words and the actions this week to come under God's hand, then you truly will be blessed. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. You know, there's a scripture that says God will build his church. Yet we try to do it for him, don't we? God, if we put this program, if we do that. You know, for me, it's such a difficult thing in the natural just to be patient. Just to wait and say, God, your way, or Yahweh, not my way. Lord, it seems to be that everything is crumbling around. I need to do something. And God says, wait. It's a very, very difficult place to be. But if we will wait and let God guide us. And trust in him. He will do this. Let's commit our ways to him as individuals and as a corporate body. It says in verse 6, and we're talking about the meek man, the meek woman. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the new day sun. How many times have you wanted to vindicate yourself, to justify yourself? Yeah, but you deserved it. Or is it just me? Over the years, I don't like to tell too many stories outside of scripture because I don't want it to be a social gospel. I want it to be the gospel. But sometimes it's good for us to share our testimonies. And there's been times over the years, I won't go into detail, where I've wanted to justify myself, to vindicate myself by showing and proving to people that someone who said something about me was a liar. But I chose to humble myself. And I knew I had the power in my tongue to pull down, but I chose to be silent under God's hand. And God vindicated me. And he'll do the same for you. If there's something in your heart that you're saying, God, this is wrong. They shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have treated me that way. Well, realize that you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living in you if you're a Christian, if you're full of his spirit. And if you will humble yourself, if you will be meek under God's hand, he will vindicate you. So a humble man will allow God to vindicate us. In verse 7, a humble man says he will be still before the Lord and he will wait patiently for him. Are you patient? Because I'm not. I want it and I want it now. God says, wait. If you pray for patience. When I was an apprentice, some of you may have experienced these things before. Some of you may have been those that have inflicted this kind of pain on other people. When I was an apprentice, they'd say, can you go to such and such a shop and get me a long wait? So I'd go along and I'd say, I'm Andrew from Body Works. I've come for a long wait. They'd say, sit down. I'll be with you soon. An hour later, I'm frustrated. I'm going, I've got work to do. And he said, well, you came for a long wait. Is that long enough? And I still didn't understand what was going on until they told me to go buy a packet of wire netting seeds and get a right-handed and a left-handed screwdriver. Then you understand what it is to be patient. But we need to be still before the Lord and wait patiently. See, God doesn't tell us to go somewhere because he's making fun of us. He tells us to wait because something good is coming. If you imagine you're in a shelter and God says, wait, it's not until the storm passes over that you realize why he called you to wait. See, that's a meek man. That's a meek woman who will trust God, listen to God, even when there's a storm all around. He'll wait patiently. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. Do not look at other people who seem to be successful and start to fret. When they cry, or when they carry out their wicked schemes. Sometimes we can look at the world and we can be envious. A meek man, a meek woman won't be envious. They won't fret. They won't look at what someone else has got. They'll look at what God is doing in their life. They'll realize that there's a power within them, and if they allow God's hand to guide them, that they will come out the other side and be blessed. That's the reward. The blessings, the spiritual blessings and the natural blessings. Do you know what? I'm blessed. I'm 60 next year and I have my health. I'm blessed. God's given me enough of what I need to be fed. I'm blessed. He's given me a sound mind. Well, fairly sound. I'm blessed. I don't know if you are, but I'm blessed. I can look at the things that could have, should have, but they didn't because I'm blessed. But to receive the fullness of that blessing, I need to be a person that's under the hand of God. And so do you. If you want to walk in the fullness of his blessings, you need to come under his hand. You need to allow him to guide you. When bad things happen, allow him to steal your heart. When you see other people around you prospering and you're not prospering as much, and you're a Christian, a child of God, and they're not, do not fret, because there's an eternal inheritance for you. In verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. A meek man will refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with the thought that to be humble, to be meek, when it talks about being meek in Matthew. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You're blessed if you allow the power that's in you to come under the hand of God, to allow God to guide you to the right or to the left. Not your ways, but his ways. Not your thoughts, but his thoughts. Not your foundation, but his foundation. Not your truth, but his truth. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not what the world says, but what his word says. When you will humble yourself and realize that you don't have all the answers, but he is the answer. When you will humble yourself and be meek and give instead of take, bless instead of curse. When someone throws stones at you, that you continue to walk on your journey unless God says. When God has asked you to do something, keep doing it until he tells you to stop. God asked me to do this 13 years ago and I haven't stopped. And some of you might think that I ought to because I talk a lot. But when God tells me to stop, then I'll stop. The same for you. Has God called you to do something? Keep doing it. Come under his hand. Because there's power within you. That's meekness. Meekness, I believe, is recognizing who you are in Christ. Meekness is recognizing that to be humble isn't to be weak, but it's to be submissive to God. Meekness isn't a weakness, it's an obedience. It's saying, Lord, your way, not my way. Lord, your thoughts, not my thoughts. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are blessed. We thank you, Father God, that we are a blessed people. We thank you, Lord, that you call us not to fret, not to worry, because you're in control. Lord, we thank you that you will give us the desires of our hearts. Lord, help us to pray in accordance to your word. Lord, bless us that we may be a blessing to those around us. Empower us. Lord, open our eyes afresh that we may see the things that Gideon didn't see until the end of the story. We are mighty warriors that are blessed of the Lord. When Gideon, friends, came under the hand of God, he saw the power of God move. He became a humble, blessed man. Amen. Thanks, Sarah.